Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest, and I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries around the world over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit my webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on the professions when we come back. You know, we Americans are the most litigious people in the world, and we believe in our lawyers with a kind of religious fervor, and we're taught from early childhood that he who represents himself in court has a fool for a client. But what would you say if a plumber said that? What if your plumber said, he who fixes his own pipes has a fool for a client? What if a carpenter said, he who fixes his own steps has a fool for a client? Now, doesn't our common sense tell us that a plumber or a carpenter who couldn't fix his own pipes or steps is incompetent? Well, my common sense tells me that a lawyer who couldn't represent himself in court has to be just as incompetent as that plumber or carpenter. Now listen to James Nielsen. Nielsen is a professor at the Hastings Law School. Here's what Nielsen had to say about these lawyers. He said, it is a fact that a student can graduate from this, the fourth largest law school in the United States, and do so without ever having written a pleading, a contract, a will, a promissory note, or a deed. He said it's worse than that. Most students graduate from this law school without ever having seen a real honest-to-God pleading, contract, will, promissory note, or a deed. And a student can graduate without having set foot in a courtroom and without ever having spoken to or on behalf of a person in need of advice or counsel. And a student can graduate without once being exposed to the operation of the rules of court. Now, whatever else may be said about this license issued by the state bar, let it be said that for these students and for their clients, it is a cruel hoax. Unquote. Professor James Nielsen, Hastings Law School. Now, if you'd like more information about courtroom strategy and procedure, why don't you call me here at the law school? The number is 417-273-4967. And be sure to ask for my free general law CD package. That's a four-hour commentary on the Gordon Law School. It's entertaining, it's educational, it's informative, and best of all, it's free of charge. Courtroom Strategy and Procedure is available on compact disc for adult home education. If you're online, just go to the website georgegordon.org. Click onto the email machine and send me an email request for your free general law CD package. Why don't you do it right now before you forget? That's georgegordon.org or call direct 417-273-4967. All right, we've been talking about the professionals. You know, when you go to high school, your English teacher encourages you to go to college so that you can get a degree from college and become a journalist and go to work for CBS or NBC and become a TV anchorman or something on that order. And of course, that's a lofty goal to aspire to, isn't it? Now, I've been a little down on the professions, not so much because the professions are unneeded. I pointed out to you that we need these professions. I mean, you know, if you're going to get sick, you need a doctor. If you're going to get in trouble, you need a lawyer. If you're going to have crooked teeth, you need an orthodontist. I don't deny that. But like a beehive, I pointed out to you that the bees are careful not to try to support too many drones. You know, 20 to 40 is plenty. And that it takes five bees to support every one of these non-producers. America has too many non-producers, and every one of these professionals is a non-producer. He's a person who consumes food and fiber. He needs a house to live in. And he can't build the house himself. doctors and dentists and orthodontists and lawyers do not build houses, boys and girls. They go out into the marketplace and they earn money and they come over and they hire carpenters, plumbers, and electricians to build their houses for them. Now, the carpenter, plumber, and electrician is a productive member of society. He's out here building houses. He's producing shelter. He produces something that all of us need to survive. To survive, we have to have food, clothing, and shelter. We really don't need doctors, dentists, lawyers, preachers, these non-productive drones in our society. We have them. And we need them because of our crimes. And the more crime we commit, the more we need the professionals who come along and solve the problems that are associated with this criminal activity. So I simply pointed out, you know, if everybody practiced the 18 health laws, we wouldn't need any doctors because nobody would get sick. Along that line, I was thinking, after I signed off last night, that in Eureka, California, when I was a kid, there was about 20,000 people lived in Eureka, California back in the 1940s, 50s, and we had two dentists, McPherson and Todd. And those two dentists served 20,000 people. And I don't ever remember having a problem getting in to see the dentist. You just called him up on the telephone, cost $5 to pull a tooth and $5 to fill one. You know, it was back in the 40s when I was a kid. And you just called old McPherson, and McPherson would schedule you in. You went in there, and he'd take care of you, and you paid him the $5 and walked out the door. That was the end of it. That was one dentist for every 10,000 people. Now, I haven't checked, but I'll just bet you there's 30 dentists in Eureka, California today. Probably 30,000 people live there. Just, you know, if you live there in Eureka, why don't you just look in your phone book and take a look at dentists and see. I'll bet you got 30 dentists there. I'll bet you got more than two. I'll bet you got more than three. I'll bet you got about one dentist for every 1,000 people, and I'll bet you if you called up, you'd have a hard time getting in. Hard time getting in. You'll have to wait in line. So that sends a signal to the economy that we need more dentists. Well, we either need more dentists or we need less Coca-Cola. You know, one or the other. Now, as long as we decide that we're gonna consume more sugar and rot our teeth out at an ever expanding or exponential rate, then I guess we need more dentists. My point is, when you get to a point where your criminal behavior gets to be so egregious, you'll be unable to survive. There's a limit to how many of these professionals that you can support. Now, medicine, when I was a kid, just taking a look back in the olden days when medicine boasted that one person in 33 would get cancer in 1900, today it's one in two, so you have to have more cancer specialists and more oncologists, don't you? I mean, that just goes without saying. Now, if we were to live the same lifestyle that we were living back in 1900, and of course, God forbid that we should ever go back to living the lifestyle of 1900 when we didn't have cancer, heart attack, and stroke, but then, you know, modern society and progress, you know, has its price, I guess. But, you know, just assuming that some of us went back and practiced that 1900 lifestyle, that's what I did. I went back, I said, you know, I think I'll change my lifestyle. And so I don't need oncologists and doctors and dentists and lawyers and all these professionals because I stopped breaking the law. And every one of these professionals now is a parasite on society. They consume much and produce nothing. Consume much and produce nothing. They're totally unnecessary, and on God's scheme of things, if we would obey God and keep His commandments, we wouldn't need a single one of these professionals. Or if we did need a few of these professionals, we wouldn't need very many. So back in 1940, when we had two dentists in Eureka, California, we needed, one dentist for every 10,000 people. We needed a whole lot fewer of them, didn't we? So, if it takes five people to support one parasite, what happens if you get thousands of these parasites? Well, then you need five times that many people to support them. Five times as many to support them. Somebody's got to go out there and plant seeds in the ground to grow lettuce to feed the parasites. Because the parasites aren't out there planting their own lettuce, nor are they. I know a lot of you guys, you know, have been to school here, and a lot of you guys are professionals, and you've been to college, and you're offended now, and I've offended you. My wife tells me, you know, you're an offensive sucker. You know, people call me on the telephone, they tell me how offensive you are. You know, Jesus of Nazareth was an offensive fellow. Did you know that? And he was constantly offending people, and that's what happens. And if you just tell people the truth, you know, it just burns their butt. I don't want to hear that. 27% of Americans are fat. It's worse than fat. They're obese. 27%. Now, you know, if somebody's in the room and they're fat and they're obese, and you say, you know, you're fat, you're obese, they're offended, aren't they? Did I lie to them? I didn't lie to them. I said, look, you're fat. And they look at me and they say, well, you know, you're bald. Well, that's true. I'm bald. There's nothing I can do about it. But you're fat, and there is something that you can do about that. I remember old Winston Churchill one time, he was talking to a, he was drunk, and he was talking to this lady. She was an MP, a member of Parliament. And she said, Winston Churchill, you are drunk. And then I forgot this lady's name. Now we'll call her Maggie. He said, well, Maggie, you're ugly. And she was really offended when Churchill said, Maggie, you're ugly. And she stormed out and she said, well, I never. And he said, well, tomorrow morning I'm going to be sober, but tomorrow morning you're still going to be ugly. Now, there's something that just, you know, nothing can cure ugly. But being drunk, you know, we can get over that. Now, there's some things we can get over, and there's some things we can't. And we can get over doctors, we can get over lawyers, we can get over orthodontists, we can get over these professionals. We don't need them. And I mentioned to you last time, I said, hey, listen, if you're going to go out and break these laws, then by God, you need health insurance. I wouldn't deny that for a minute, and you need a doctor. Now, for the rest of us out here, you know, what if we took this to heart and said, well, wait a minute. I used to smoke, and I quit smoking. There was something I could do to change my circumstance. A whole lot less chance of me getting lung cancer today than there was in 1960 when I was still smoking. Now, Los Angeles, California has a lot of air pollution. You know, you people that live in Los Angeles, Chicago, New Orleans, you know where you've got a lot of air pollution. You know, your chances of getting cancer are a whole lot greater than mine living in Isabella, Missouri, where the air's clean. God forbid that you should leave Los Angeles, but I'm just pointing out, you know, there's a cause and effect relationship, and if you're going to stay in Los Angeles, you probably need health insurance, and you probably need a cancer surgeon, an oncologist who can cut your lungs out and treat you for this cancer, because there's a good possibility you might get it. Now, of course, we say, well, we have to live in Los Angeles to make a living. Well, that's not true. That's not true at all. No, you can make a living anywhere in the world that you want to. You live in Los Angeles because you choose to. You could make your living in Eureka, California, where the air is clean. You know, if you wanted to. You don't want to. So you're going to stay in Los Angeles where the air is dirty, where your chances of getting cancer are greater, for which you now need to spend $9,000 a year buying health insurance, and you need professionals down there that can cut your lungs out. Well, same thing is true here with lawyers. You know, if there were no bad people, there would be no good lawyers. A lawyer is a parasite. Now we have parasites here in the Ozarks. We call them ticks. On the other half are called chiggers. Well, these ticks get on the cows, and they suck blood. Now, there's a surprising phenomenon here. Cows can live without ticks, but ticks cannot live without cows. People can live without lawyers, but lawyers cannot live without people. So a lawyer, then, is a fellow that we could live without, just like a cow can live without a tick, but the lawyer cannot live without you. He has to have you, and he has to convince you that you need him. It's like a banker. You know, the banker convinces us that we cannot live our lives without banks and loans. I remember when I was a youngster here, because I want to cover lawyers, preachers, and bankers here on this CD number 3. This third program in the series on professionals, lawyers, bankers, and preachers. Jesus had something to say about lawyers, bankers, and preachers, and he never had a good word for any of them. In Luke 11:37 through 54, might note this down. Luke 11 verses 37 through 54 talks about lawyers and preachers. In Mark 11 verse 12, and in Matthew 21 verses 12 and 13 talks about money changers. Today we call those money changers bankers. Now, a money changer today has changed his character. A money changer today is in reality a broker. He's a common law occupation. A banker is a licensed fellow. He has to be licensed because what he's doing is criminal. He's lending money at usury. Usury is a criminal. It's a capital felony. Yeah, a capital felony. So these lawyers, preachers, and bankers commit capital crimes. I mean, these guys deserve the death penalty. Under the Mosaic law, you'd take a lawyer out and stone him to death. You'd take a preacher out and stone him to death. You'd take a banker out and stone him to death for the violation of these laws. And we're not talking about parking meter violations. We're talking about capital felonies, like murder and witchcraft. Of course, you know, in modern America, witchcraft is a protected exercise under the First Amendment. But, you know, you still punish treason and you still punish murder. Capital felonies, you know. So God comes along and he says, well, now listen, boys and girls, I'm your God, I'm your creator, and I've got these laws over here, and we gave him the finger, clear back in 1 Samuel 8, and said, kiss off, we're not going to listen to this crap. And we came up with our own program. You know, our program calls for lawyers, preachers, and bankers. And we're convinced, all of us common law occupation people, you know, all of us commoners, see, we're not in the aristocracy. We're not in the privileged few. We're not in the educated elite. We are the commoners. Blue collar, not white collar, blue collar workers. So we've been convinced as a group en masse that we can't live without lawyers, preachers, and bankers. You gotta have them. They're necessary and imperative. Society can't succeed without them. And they're not lying. The society that we have today could not succeed without the lawyers, preachers, and bankers who have to come in to become our guardians. And that's what a professional is. He is a guardian. A guardian. Let me show you that. Let's take a look at a lawyer over here. And the lawyer comes along on the scene and in Corpus Juris Secundum, CJS. It gives us a definition here of a lawyer. And here's what a lawyer is. A lawyer, his first duty is to the courts and the public, not to the client. So understand this, that your lawyer, when you go into the lawyer's office and you sit down, you sign a contract, you give him your power of attorney. You declare yourself to be incompetent. You're a legal incompetent, and this lawyer who is legally competent is going to represent you. And his first duty is to the courts and the public, not to you, the client, although you're going to pay the bill. Isn't that just special? And wherever the duties to his client conflict with those that he owes as an officer of the court in the administration of justice, the former must yield to the latter. So if there's any conflict between his service to you and his service to the court and the public, you come second. Too bad for you. But who's paying the bill? Now, I've always said, you know, that you ought to read what you sign. I learned that when I was a little kid, and everybody's told you the same thing. Nobody ever does that, but then that's what we've all been told. So, you become the proximate cause of your own injury when you walk into an attorney, hire this sucker, and walk into court, and then you're dissatisfied with his services. Of course, you didn't have any other solution anyway, because you're a legal incompetent and couldn't represent yourself, so the only solution was to hire an attorney. People call the law school all the time and say, well, what should I do now that my attorney has screwed, blued, and tattooed me? So, well, you know, once you're dead, you should bury the body. You know, once the cow's dead, you dispose of the trash. Here's a second little facet that comes from CJS. A client is one who applies to a lawyer or a counselor for advice and direction on a question of law or commits his cause to his management in prosecuting a claim or defending against a suit in a court of justice. One who retains the attorney is responsible to him for his fees and to whom the attorney is responsible for the management of the suit. One who communicates facts to an attorney expecting professional advice. Clients are also called wards of the court in regard to their relationship with their attorneys. So it's a guardian-ward relationship in which you become the ward and the attorney becomes your guardian. Woo! So now you've got a guardian whose first duty is to the court, not to you. Did you get that, boys and girls? You hire an attorney and become his ward. He's your guardian. And his first duty is not to you, the ward, it's to the court. And whose court is this? Well, it's the state of Missouri's court. Wow. How do you think that's going to come out? Is there any surprise then that 94% of the time we lose? I've always said, you know, you go out and hire an attorney, hey, you can save yourself a lot of money. You just walk in and plead guilty all by yourself. You don't need to hire an attorney. And you can save the money. Because when you hire an attorney and you go into court, you're going to lose 94% of the time. That's right. Hire an attorney, pay him $20,000-$30,000, go into court, do a case, and you'll lose 94% of the time. Hell, you can go into court and lose free. You don't have to pay $30,000 to lose. Just go in there and plead guilty, save $30,000. Go to jail, which is where you're going anyway. Well, that's what you get with an attorney. Don't get mad at me. I'm just reporting the facts. Just telling you this is the way it goes. Now, Jesus had something to say about these preachers who come right along with them. See, the preachers should be standing up here in the pulpits every Sunday and telling you people what's going on with your lawyers and your professionals. They don't do that because they themselves are licensed professionals, licensed by the same politicians, the same government that licenses the lawyers and the doctors and all the rest of the professionals out there. So when you go to a doctor, you declare yourself to be medically incompetent and unable to manage your medical affairs. He has your power of attorney. So when he cuts out your left lung, and he should have cut out your right lung, that's medical malpractice. But when he cuts out your left lung and you die, he's got a license to kill. That's why he's licensed as a professional. That's just the way the game is played. God comes along and says, now, these professionals aren't really the answer to your problem. Obeying my laws and keeping my commandments is a better program. So the law that says you shall eat no manner of fat is a better program than eating McDonald's and then having a Roto-Rooter job. What do they call that? Where they come in here and they get bypass surgery. See, abstaining from animal fat is better than bypass surgery. That's a wild new concept for most of you, but I tried that years ago. Now, I miss out on all of the good-tasting French fries and that good taste of a Big Mac. I lose that. I don't get that. I had to give it up. It's like giving it up for Lent, you know. I had to give it up in order to avoid bypass surgery. I took a look at this bypass surgery program. I looked at it pretty carefully, and I said, no, I don't think I want to buy into that. I think I'm going to avoid that. Well, the same thing is true now with a lawyer. Now, I used to hire lawyers. I got to tell you a story here. I had a lawyer, a good guy, and he was a hell of a nice guy. I liked him. And he had on his wall 30 pieces of paper. I counted them. 30 pieces of paper. He had degrees from the University of Illinois Law School, and he had all kinds of awards and things like that. This guy was really smart. Really smart. I mean, smart, smart, smart. No dummy. 30 pieces of paper on his wall. That's what really impressed me. Now, I paid this guy $6,000 a year for 5 years. And that's a total of $6,000 a year for 6 years, $36,000. $6,000 a year for 6 years. And I actually had my telephone zeroed in on this guy. I had 12 or 24 numbers over here. Just push the button, and you just push the button, and that got you Bickelson, got my lawyer. I'm running a company, you know, produces about $1 million a year, has 30 employees. You know, we're not IBM, but then, you know, we're not mom and pop down on the corner either, you know. 30 employees, pretty good sized business. 11 Western states, delivering furniture. So, Bickle probably wrote 30, 40 contracts for me. I don't know exactly how many, but it was a bunch over the years. And we went to litigation on three, and we lost all three. Now, we shouldn't have gone to litigation on any of those contracts, because the purpose for hiring a lawyer to write your contracts for you is to keep you out of trouble, isn't it? I mean, hell, if I was smart enough to write a contract, I wouldn't need the lawyer. So I'm dumb. So I got to go to the lawyer to write the contract. He writes three contracts. We go to litigation three times and we lose three times. What's that tell you? Well, you're just one of those unlucky guys and you had a bad lawyer. Oh, yeah? Wait a minute. This lawyer's got 30 pieces of paper on his wall. How many pieces of paper does your lawyer have on his wall? My lawyer is licensed. Well, do you say, well, all lawyers are licensed? Well, could it be that just because these lawyers have a license doesn't make them competent or smart? That maybe there's some dumb licensed lawyers? Maybe there's some dumb licensed doctors? Did you suppose that maybe there's some incompetent doctors and incompetent lawyers? Are there incompetent professionals? Are there incompetent teachers? You mean to tell me that just because somebody's got a degree from college doesn't make him real smart and maybe he's dumb? Ignorant? Could that be? So one day I woke up to this fact. I said, you know, what would happen if I went into court to argue my own case, pro se? That's what pro se means. That means that I'm going in here as a lawyer for myself. What would happen? And I said, well, look, I paid Bickel $6,000 a year for 6 years, $36,000 a year. Then I had to pay him $5,000 to do the three cases. That was another $15,000. Paid this guy over $50,000, went to trial three times, lost three times. I paid $50,000 to lose three cases. Could I go into court and lose for less? Let me tell you, boys and girls, you can. I went into court and I did the next 16 cases and won 16 in a row. By myself. I just went into court and said, hey, let me tell you what happened. Here's the way this comes down. Here's what this contract says. I didn't have any problems. Opened my eyeballs and I figured out this, that I can go into court and I can lose free. Doesn't cost anything to lose. Furthermore, I can go into court and I can win free, or nearly so. Now, over the last 20 years or so, I've done about 63 or 4 cases. I lost 7. Lost 7, won the rest. I say that's a pretty good record. It's about 90%. I can win about 90% of my cases. I might not be able to win them all, but I can do better than lose 3 in a row. 3 out of 3 is 100% loss. Now, the professionals over here convince us that we can't live without them. The preacher over here, he convinces us that we can't get to heaven without his help. The banker over here convinces us that the robbers are going to steal our money from us and that we can't live our lives without credit cards, bank credit, and loans. The lawyer convinces us that we can't live our lives without his services, that without him, we're sure to go to prison. And we believe it. And we support these ticks. We support these parasites. And it takes 5 of us to support one of these parasites. 5 of us out here in the productive economy are producing meat, milk, butter, and eggs, so that we can eat meat, milk, butter, and eggs ourselves, but we have to share the meat, milk, butter, and eggs with these parasites. And there's a lot more parasites in our society than we need. Well, there's a lot more parasites in our society than we can afford to support. Now, that's what's happening to us here in America. Can't speak for you Canadians. Can't talk for you Australians and New Zealanders and Englishmen and Frenchmen and Russians and Chinese. Now you'll have to look at your own societies. But you know, we Americans have more lawyers than any other society in the world. I've seen a few numbers over here. I think that in this country we have about one lawyer for every, I don't know, 10,000 people or something like that. And in Japan they got one lawyer for 1 million or one lawyer for 100,000 or something like that. Or in Washington, D.C., it's worse than that. It's one lawyer for about every 1,000 people in the city, or less. Highest proportion of lawyers to residences in Washington, D.C., anywhere in the world. Well, it makes a lot of sense, you know. You got a lot of crime going on in Washington, and lawyers are attracted to crime. And lawyers are criminals. And lawyers give bribes, and they take bribes. Did you know that? Yeah, they do. The politicians are lawyers, or at least most of them are. Most of those lawyers, or most of those politicians in Washington are lawyers, and they're taking bribes. They're taking money and favors from lobbyists who are lawyers. So the lawyers are taking money from the businessmen. The businessmen want certain laws and certain rules and regulations enacted for their monopoly businesses. And so you've got this criminal cartel working in Washington, D.C. Of course, you got it in your state capitals, too. And these lawyers aren't spoken of very highly. Neither are preachers. Listen to this. But let's listen to it after I give you this little caveat. You know, you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. And The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States and worldwide over the Internet. For more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website. It's georgegordon.org. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. So for more information, why don't you go to the homeschooling page on the website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. Last time I looked, there were about 2,000 of these programs. We put out 365 programs a year. And if you like one or two of them, by chance, by accident, and you want to copy it, they're free, just like the radio stations. If you run a radio station and you want this program, you just go to the archives, click onto the one you want, download it, and you've got a 60-minute program that's formatted on 32-bit quality CD, and you just plug it right in there and you play it right over the radio. Or you can plug it right into any CD player in your car or in your home or wherever you're at. Send them to your friends and your neighbors and just bedazzle them with the wit and wisdom of George Gordon and the Law Hour. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, news, and current events 7 days a week. And the opinions, listen to this, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertiser, sponsors, management, or the staff of the network or of this radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to the website georgegordon.org or just call the Law School direct, 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Ask for that free general law CD package and we'll whip it on you. Take a listen to this. Here's preachers from the Bible. Here's what God had to say about preachers. This is Luke 11, verse 37. As he spake, a certain Pharisee besought him to dine with him, and he went in, he sat down to meat. And when the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not washed before coming into dinner. And the Lord said unto him, now, do you Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter? But your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness. You fools! Did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also? But rather give alms of such as you have, and behold, all things are clean unto you. But woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue, and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought you to have done, and not to have left the other undone. Woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye love the uppermost seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you are as graves which appear not, and the men walk over them and are not aware of them. Notice, here he is over here at some religion. Could you picture this? You're over here at your local preacher's. And you walk into the preacher, and he's invited you over for, maybe Easter dinner or something, and he's serving ham, and you walk in there and say, hey, you pig-eating Christian, how come you're serving ham over here in violation of the law of Moses? Okay, you know, you're just going to be about as popular as AIDS at an office Christmas party now, aren't you? And then you call the preacher a hypocrite, and then you say, woe unto you, you hypocrite. Yeah, can you see why Jesus was so popular among the professionals of his day? I mean, these were the professionals. These are the Pharisees, scribes, lawyers. Yeah, he didn't have any good words for these clowns. And he said to the guy, he said, you know, you tithe, you give alms of such things as you have. And he says, woe unto you Pharisees, you tithe mint and ruin all manner of herbs, and you pass over judgment and the love of God. Do you know what the love of God is? In 1 John 5, verse 2 and 3, I think it tells you that for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. He said, you know, you preachers don't obey the law of God. You don't keep the commandments of God. I don't know of any preachers that keep the commandments of God, do you? Have you ever met one? Have you ever met a preacher that would come to you and say, you know, you ought not to sow your fields with mingled seed. You shouldn't use hybridized seed because Leviticus 19:19 prohibits it. You shouldn't crossbreed your cattle. You shouldn't wear clothes with mixed fabrics. These are kind of least commandments. You shouldn't use Federal Reserve notes. You shouldn't practice usury and interest. You shouldn't have credit cards. You shouldn't have a mortgage on your house. You ever had a preacher ever get up and tell you a story like that? You ever had a preacher, you know, come in and say, listen, you know, we ought to obey God and keep his commandments. We ought to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You ever heard a preacher tell you that? Hell, I'm a crummy plumber, and I'm telling you that. Makes a hell of a lot more sense than going down to Flo's whorehouse and tearing off a piece on Friday night and then going out to the doctor over here to get penicillin and sulfa drugs to cure you from the syphilis and gonorrhea that you got down at Flo's, don't you think? Makes a hell of a lot more sense to quit smoking so you don't get cancer, so you don't need health insurance, so you don't need to go to the doctor to have the wrong lung cut out, doesn't it? No, I didn't go to college, but I ain't brain dead. Now listen to this. And this lawyer comes up to him in verse 45. He says, then answered one of the lawyers and said unto him, Master, thus saying thou reproachest us also? There was a lawyer there at dinner. And he said, well, after you've upbraided this preacher over here, you're going to say something nasty about us lawyers too? Yeah, listen to this. Now here's Jesus talking, and he said, woe unto you also, you lawyers, for you laid men with grievous burdens, heavy to be borne, and you yourselves touch not those burdens with one of your fingers. Woe unto you, for you build the sepulchres of the prophets, and your fathers killed them. He accused them of murder, for crying out loud. Truly, you bear witness that you allow the deeds of your fathers, for they indeed killed them, and you build their sepulchres. Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute, that the blood of all of the prophets, which was shed from the foundation of the world, may be required of this generation, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the altar and the temple. Truly I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation. Woe unto you, lawyers, for you've taken away the key of knowledge. You entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in you hindered. And as he said these things unto them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to urge him vehemently and to provoke him to speak many things, laying wait for him and seeking to catch something out of his mouth that they might accuse him. They sent undercover agents to spy on him. How do you like that? Now, Jesus wasn't well liked, especially among the professionals. He told them where the bear does it. Told them where the rubber meets the road. Ticked them off. They didn't like that. Nobody likes to have the truth. Especially when it's the truth about you. I always tell my students, you know, the worst thing that can happen to you is that when you get into court, a witness testifies and tells the truth about you. Now, that's the worst thing that can happen to you, is that a witness is telling the truth about you. The best thing that can happen to you is that he lies about you. You can get him on cross-examination if he lies. What are you going to do if he comes in and tells the truth? Jesus came in and told the truth about these lawyers and the preachers. He called them liars and hypocrites. Now take a look at Congress, made up mostly of lawyers. And these lawyers are the people that pass the laws. For instance, you know this health law that was just passed? You know this free drugs for the elderly? They put a little rider in there and it says you have to buy those drugs from the pharmaceutical companies in this country. You can't go to Canada and buy them or Mexico. That's against the law. Remember that? Why did they pass that law? Well, because the drug companies make three or four times as much money selling the drugs with their price schedule in the United States as they do Canada or Mexico. Same drugs. The drugs aren't even manufactured in the United States. They're manufactured over in Ireland and then shipped into the United States and Canada. And they say, the drug companies say, through the FDA, made up of more lawyers, well, those drugs from Canada are unsafe. You know, they're not only liars, they're hypocrites. They know that that's a lie. And they lie to us, and they keep a straight face. The only good thing I can say about George Bush is that he's not a lawyer. George Bush isn't an open and notorious whore. My wife was in court one day, and the judge was kind of surprised at her ability to present her case. And he said, Mrs. Gordon, are you an attorney? And she said, do I look like a whore? My wife has got a sharp tongue. Well, the lawyers are whores. There's just no other way to describe them. They're hypocrites, and they are to this day. Does that mean there are no good lawyers? No, I got three or four good friends that are lawyers. One of my mentors, one of my teachers, was a lawyer. And he said to me one time, he said, George, I'm 55 years old. He reached in his wallet and he pulled out his bar card. And he said, this is my meal ticket. If I had my life to live over again, I would not become a lawyer. I would not become a lawyer. He recognized by the time he was 55 that he was a whore. That he made a mistake. He chose the wrong profession. Not that any profession is the right profession. That's why I decided to take a look at professions this week and say, hey, wait a minute. Did God ever authorize any of these professions? How come we have these professions? We have professions because of our criminal activities. We have to have lawyers. Because we're constantly breaking laws and getting into trouble. We have to have lawyers to enact the laws that we want enacted in opposition to the laws of God. Now, Deuteronomy 4, verse 2, and Deuteronomy 12, verse 32, prohibit us from making any laws. Did you know that? Let me read it to you. Let me blow your socks off here. Let me really make you ticked off. If you're not mad yet, let me make you mad. In verse 2, Deuteronomy chapter 4, you shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Eternal your God, which I command you. He repeats that statute in Deuteronomy 12:32. The first statute at large in the state of Missouri, enacted in 1820, says the common law of England shall be the law of Missouri unless it's altered, reformed, or amended, or abolished by the legislature. So the very first statute that we enacted in this state, Missouri, in 1820 says, we'll follow the common law of England. We will follow the law of God unless we alter it, reform it, or amend it, or abolish it. And God tells you right here, legislators, it's against the law for you to change the law of God. Says, don't do that. The only purpose for Hillary Clinton is to abolish, to change, to amend the law of God. That's the only purpose that she, the only function that she serves in the Congress. It's a criminal activity for which she is licensed, bonded, and insured. She's an attorney in opposition to God. Well, it's fun. You know, get after it. Don't let me get in the way of your happiness and success, Hillary. You know, get with the program. And then there comes a little event in life. It's called the judgment. God says, well, time's coming when I'm going to judge you. Right now, she's got a choice to make. And she made her choice. Now, she could repent, and she could resign from the Congress, and she could say, you know, I made a bad mistake, and I'm just sorry as hell that I did that, and she'd probably get off the hook. But it's not very likely that she's going to do that, because lawyers like power. So do doctors. They like power, and they like money. And they're just like I am. You know, I like power, and I like money, too. And the question arises, well, how are we going to arrive at, how are we going to obtain all this money and power that we want? Are we going to do it by following the law of God? Or are we going to do it by throwing the law of God out, and then we'll replace that with our own law? And that's what we've done here. And so as we replace our own laws, I can remember as a kid, you know, you could go out and get in your automobile with your family and drive down the road. Today you can't do that. And see, today you go out and get in your automobile, you got to make sure your papers are in order. You got them in your pocket. You got to make sure that you got child restraints, and you got seats for the babies, and you put them in the back seat and buckle your seat belts. And if you don't, these are all crimes for which you can be jailed, for crying out loud. Prosecuted. Have your car taken away, your property confiscated. Who gave you all of these Mickey Mouse laws? Professionals. Lawyers. They're telling you that we're your guardians, and it's a guardian-ward relationship, and you have to follow what your guardian tells you to do. So you elect these guardians, and you send them off to Washington, and they make these laws, and people complain, well, my God, we've got all these gun control laws. Well, why are you practicing democracy? You know, your founding fathers gave you a republic, and your politicians and lawyers keep selling you democracy. Your founding fathers, every one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence said democracy sucks. There's never been a good word in the history of America concerning democracy from any of our founding fathers, and you people have all gone running off after democracy. Your president says, well, we got to sell democracy in Iraq. God help you poor Iraqi bastards over there for adopting democracy. I mean, don't let me get in the way of your happiness and success over in Iraq, but democracy has destroyed America. What do you think it's going to do to Iraq? Well, of course, democracy in Iraq is probably a step in the right direction from where they were, but it sure as hell not the solution to their problem. I think there's a better governmental problem or problem, solution, cause, and effect in the Bible than there is in coming out of the Congress of the United States, but I guess that's another story for another day. Let's take a look at bankers. Bankers, they make unjust weights and balances. They give us Federal Reserve notes and mortgages and usury and interest. And Jesus had a little run-in with the bankers. Today, the bankers, lawyers, and the doctors sit in the front pews of our churches. The bankers lend money to the church, and then the members of the church sign pledges for the church building fund to pay the usury and interest to the bankers, which is condemned by God as a capital felony, for crying out loud. Why don't you take a look at Exodus, or not Exodus, excuse me, that's Ezekiel chapter 18. Just one chapter, Ezekiel chapter 18. If you're driving in your car and it's the only number you can remember, go read that one chapter, would you? God's talking about a man, and he says, if this man practices these wicked and evil things, of which one of them is usury, shall he live? He says, he shall not live. He shall surely die in his sin. Capital felony. And then we go to church, 65% of us every Sunday, and then sign these little pledge cards over here to pay the banker his usury and interest. Well, one day Jesus happened to be in the temple. And the bankers of his day, that is the money changers, were doing a little business there in the temple, had a run-in with them. This is in Matthew 21, verses 12 and 13. And he said, Jesus went into the temple, and he cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and he overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And he said to them, it's written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. Said, you damn money changers are a bunch of damn thieves. Now, money changers are thieves because they charge interest. Now, today we have a guy that we call a money changer, or a term that we use as a money changer called a broker. He doesn't charge usury and interest. He charges a percentage as a service fee. That's not interest, and that's not a crime. But when you go down here and you sign the mortgage on your house for 30 years at 6% interest, now that's interest on the debt, and that's a crime. It's a crime for you because you're doing it before and after the fact, and it's a crime to the banker because he's collateralizing the note. That's against the law. Collateral is a crime. The interest is a crime. The unjust weights and balances, that is, the Federal Reserve notes, the dollar-denominated paper money, that's a crime. And then, like as not, there's a lawyer comes in, and he represents the bank, and he's the guy that draws up these contracts. That's a crime. And then we call this business. It's modern American business. We call it the economy. And we engage in this. And these are all professionals. And then the preacher who's standing up in the pulpit, does he condemn the lawyers and the bankers the way Jesus did? Have you ever seen a preacher stand up in the pulpit and say, "Woe unto you damn bankers with your usury and your interest. Woe unto you lawyers, you murderers, and you heinous criminals." Remember all these senators and representatives that vote for the war in Iraq in violation of the war statute of the scripture? Then you go over there and you kill 100,000 of these Iraqis. That's what Jesus was talking about. He said, you know, you guys come over here and you kill people by the tens of thousands with your damn wars. And then you stand up here in church, you know, like you're holy and righteous folk. Well, like God said, well, there's choices to be made, and then there's a judgment. And when we get down to the judgment, George Gordon will stand up there along with Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton and everybody else, and God is going to come along, and he'll say, well, Bill, you know, how'd you conduct your life? And, well, Hillary, how'd you conduct your life? Well, Gordon, how about you? How'd you conduct your life? And he said, I'm going to expect an answer from every one of us. And when I stand up there, I expect to be asked very plainly, and I expect to answer very plainly. Well, I did what you told me, boss. You told me to do this, and I did it. And you told me not to do that, and I didn't do it. You know, I got enough to answer for without answering for any more, but here's the point. Lawyers, preachers, and bankers are condemned in the Scripture. They're condemned in the Scripture because they're criminals. A crime has been committed. And they all know they're criminals because the very definition of a license is permission to do something that's otherwise illegal, unlawful, a tort, or trespass. Most of you listening to me right now are criminals. You've all got marriage licenses. You've all got driver's licenses, business licenses, professional licenses. Some guy's going to write me a letter now, send me an email. Well, how in the hell do you expect us to make a living? In a common law occupation, son. Get out there and work like a bee in a beehive. Get out there and do something honest for a change. Well, it's a wild new concept for most of you. Wild new concept. I used to have a driver's license, business license, corporation license, a charter from the state. Hell, I'm an old-timey businessman. I know how to be a criminal. I was a criminal for many years. And one day I woke up and I said, I'm not sure that this criminal activity is good for me. What is it that lawyers do to violate the laws of the Bible, the laws of the Scripture? Well, number one, they practice blasphemy. It's a violation of number 10. Remember then I went through that? Somebody's going to say to you, what in the hell is number 10? Well, let me dig it out for you. Number 10 is blasphemy. And if you'll take a look at 2 Samuel 12, verse 14, and 2 Kings 19, verse 22, it'll give you an example of blasphemy. Lawyers practice bribery. Bribery, number 48. It's against the law. Gifts, bribes, and rewards. It violates Exodus 23, verse 8, Deuteronomy 10, verse 17, Deuteronomy 16, verses 18 through 20. You shall take no gift, for the gift blinds the eyes of the wise and perverts the words of righteousness. Of course, we don't call it bribery today. No. No. You don't find politicians taking bribes, you know. What you have is you have these lawyers and these institutions in Washington called lobbyists. And so we're lobbying. We're not bribing. It's lobbying. Just like the doctors, you know, we change the names, you know. The Army calls it collateral damage and friendly fire. And the doctors, they come along, they got a label for it too. Oh, this is an adverse event. And this isn't bribery. This is called lobbying. Yeah, go ahead and change the name, boys and girls. And it induces the death penalty. You know, there's a death penalty that goes along with this lawyering because one of them, blasphemy, is punishable by death. You know, some of these crimes that lawyers commit in their lobbying and their bribing constitute crimes that are punishable by death. And there are certain crimes that require the death penalty. Let me give you some of them here. Murder, smiting of parents, kidnapping, cursing of parents, abortion, negligent property liability, daylight shooting of a thief, witchcraft, bestiality, idolatry, profaning the Sabbath, adultery, incest, sodomy, marriage of a man to both a mother and her daughter, blasphemy, that's treason against God, false prophecy, reviling priests and judges, perjury, incorrigible delinquency, whoredom, rape, usury, and oppressing widows and orphans are all punishable by death. So says our Creator. Now in Deuteronomy 10, verses 12 through Deuteronomy 11, verse 32, two chapters there, deals with law. It's number 71, and these lawyers are in violation of these statutes called the law statute, number 71, in Deuteronomy 10, verses 12, through Deuteronomy 11, verse 32. And then they violate the punishment statutes in Exodus 21, verses 18, through Exodus 22, verse 17. And the lawyers get involved in that. For instance, here's a good one. You know, the lawyers, many of them, not every lawyer is one of these, but many of them oppose the death penalty. Do you know where the death penalty came from? It came from God Almighty Himself. And they're opposed to the death penalty? They're opposed to God Himself. There comes a time when you lawyers out there are going to have to answer to your Creator for that. I just wanted to share that with you. I mean, it's nothing personal to me, and it's just nothing real important to you. You can go out there and do as you damn well please, but there is a day of reckoning coming. You ought to be aware of that. At some point in time, you have to answer for that. So lawyers are criminals who commit violations of law, and they take oaths constantly, which violates number 124, Matthew 5:33 through 37, and James 5:12 prohibits us from taking oaths. And most of the judges are lawyers, and most of the judges administer the oath. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? That's a crime to do that. It's not a capital felony. The death penalty doesn't attach to taking oaths, but it's a crime. And there's a penalty that has to be paid. And lawyers are right at the forefront of being the judges, and the judges are right at the forefront of administering these oaths. And the legislatures that create these oaths and put them in your statutes over there, most of them are lawyers. Lawyers are criminals, and they enact criminal laws. That's what's wrong with the profession of lawyering. All right, so there takes care of lawyers, preachers, and bankers. That'll just about make everybody. I've got the medical doctors over there mad at me. Now I've got the lawyers, preachers, and bankers mad at me. Let's see who can get mad at you. We'll take a look at the professionals in education next time. All right, I got to sign off here. Can I find my paper, my sign-off paper here, and tell you what you've been listening to and why? Yeah, I guess I can. Here it is. You've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is carried worldwide on the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date, and The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Remember, the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, news, and current events 7 days a week. All right, time's up. We got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. We'll be talking about the professionals in education. God willing, of course. So until then, good night, friends.